good Muslim, bad Muslim. My name is Zara.
And this is Taz. We are on episode number 3.
Muslims are taking over the world and we're winning.
Yes, I think we are. Sometimes it feels like, actually it feels like we're losing a lot of the time.
Well, who's on our side?
The cool people are.
We have good Muslim awards to give.
Yeah.
And we have fatwas to issue. We have awkward ask a Muslim moments.
Yeah.
And like with like a weird pickup artist dude.
We'll get to that in a second.
And we have safety tips for Muslim women.
Yeah, it's going to be a good podcast. So stay tuned for the next half an hour. So before we get started, I want to talk about that thing on your finger.
This glittery, beautiful one?
Yeah, it's on your wedding finger.
My ring finger?
Your ring finger.
Where a ring is supposed to be.
Yeah.
What's on your ring finger? Oh, there's nothing on it.
Yeah,
where a ring is supposed to go.
Where did this ring come from? Because you weren't wearing one when you got proposed to when I last saw you.
Ah, yes. That glorious event.
Yeah, which you can listen to on our previous podcast.
It made me feel so special. This came after I got proposed to at your party. And then afterward, my mom and my husband scavenged the drawer to find a replacement wedding ring because I lost my original one in the shower.
Yeah, this doesn't even look like a replacement ring. This is ginormous. It's super blingy. This is like, hey, anyone in a 5-mile radius, look, I am married. Do not hit on me. It's definitely what we say a statement ring in a wedding ring.
It's making a bold statement that's, hey, my mom doesn't want me to get hit on by other guys. So she gave me one of her rings until I can buy one for myself.
I'm really excited that our podcast led to this happening. That's amazing.
To my proposals? My marriage proposals?
Yes.
It's why I'm the good Muslim.
You're not the good. I guess in this situation, you're going to have to be the good Muslim with a ring like that because no one's going to be allowed to even, like, hit on you or talk to you from a mile away.
Maybe we should mention for our new listeners that who is the good Muslim and who is the bad
Muslim?
There
is no who is.
Is always to be determined.
Yes.
There are more ways that I am good.
It's not a dichotomous conversation where when we say good Muslim, bad Muslim, we're talking about the gray zone between good Muslim and bad Muslim.
Oh, my God. I thought this was a binary podcast. Wow. What did I agree to?
So anyways, so since our last podcast, we recorded in February.
I have gotten a new wedding ring that's blingy bling bling. We should say where we are.
We should say where we are.
We are at the San Francisco Writers Grotto, which is where I have an office. It is a writer's co-working space. We had our 20th anniversary. It was on the cover of Chronicle, the San Francisco Chronicle. We're in the brand new podcasting booth.
Which actually feels kind of like a closet.
It is a closet. That's probably why it feels that way. It's a closet that, thanks to Ethan Waters here at the Grotto, he donated all of this awesome equipment so that we could have podcasts here, and that's rad. So now Good Muslim, Bad Muslim is recording out of the Grotto.
Yeah, the space is really exciting. We have fancy mics and egg crates on the wall, so it's soundproof. So thanks to the SF Grotto for letting us record episode number 3 here.
Fun fact, this actually used to be a secret writer space.
Oh.
Where writers who worked here when they wanted to be at the Grotto, but they didn't want anyone to know because they didn't want any distractions, they'd come in here, shut the door, no light, and just write for like 13 hours.
Wow, that doesn't sound very fun.
It's pretty badass.
Feels like there might be some bad mojo in here. Some very serious energy going on, which will be good because we have some serious things to talk about next.
In the past month
since we did the recording, we experienced a lot of terrible things in the Muslim community in the U.S. Primarily, the Chapel Hill shootings happened on February 11th, where 3 youth, Daya, Yusser, and Razan, were shot and execution-styled killed in their apartment by a crazy white man living next door.
Imagine that, a crazy white man. Not just a white man.
But a crazy white man. And it's been, I don't know what you did up here, but I went to one of the vigils And it was just, it was super emotional, I think. For me, it was particularly emotional because these were like three young people, you know, they're three activists. They were like raising money to do dental work in Syria. And I think I work with a lot of youth and Muslim youth and South Asian youth and train them. But, you know, like you just can't prepare, you can't prepare youth to get killed, right? Like you can prepare youth to like organize and construct campaigns, but how do you prepare them to like,
To not die. Yeah, because that's not supposed to happen.
Right. It's not supposed to happen.
It's not supposed to happen. You're not supposed to have to do that.
Yeah. What was your experience like up here?
Well, it was really hard.
Yeah.
I live really far out in the East Bay, pretty cut off. I live in a really white neighborhood that's very Republican. It's like home of the Tea Party up here in the Bay Area, like to the degree that like they have Open Carry Awareness Day. Mm. Where you get to wear your gun to Pete's.
So scary.
Yeah, which is like, you know, and then they walk around like, I'm so glad there's open carry day so that I could carry my gun. I feel powerless, you know. So it just, that whole juxtaposition was, it's terrifying.
Yeah,
and I felt really scared, really unsafe, and like anything could happen.
Yeah.
Like it's not enough to be a model minority anymore.
Yeah. Absolutely. The thing that happened was there was also a lot of backlash that happened in the Muslim community, especially in the South, where you heard about these crimes. I believe someone got shot in Texas in this past week.
Yeah, last week, a Dallas Muslim was shot dead while taking pictures of snow with his wife.
Which is so scary to think that.
This was just because, again, The excuse, they had, like, neighborhood watch, and the excuse was, I was afraid.
Yeah. Did you hear about Mr. Patel?
Right.
Yeah, so Mr. Patel happened.
This is, like, this incident is following Mr. Patel.
Yeah, so the Mr. Patel incident happened in Alabama, I believe Montgomery. And in that incident, this older man, he was, like, 56 years old. He was taking his morning walk. And in this suburban neighborhood, you can see the pictures of it. It's just like ranch houses. And he's taking a morning walk and someone calls 911. And I heard the 911 call and he calls 911 and says that there's a suspicious 30-year-old looking black man peeking into garages saying, I'm scared that to leave my wife at home because of this man that's walking around. And then the cops come and then the cops find Mr. Patel, who's elderly. He's visiting from India because his son just had a child. And then the cops come. He doesn't understand English, right? Mr. Patel's from India. And they know he doesn't understand English. But even then, they, like, throw him on the ground. They arrest him. And he injures his back. He's, like, partially paralyzed in this experience. God. It was so terrible. And I think in both incidences between what happened in Chapel Hill and Alabama, they had to do with neighbors. And I think that's one of the most...
It's the neighbors, it's the suburbs, like the entire immigrant promise.
Yes.
Here's where I start to get angry. I can feel like my Muslim rage coming out. This makes me like Muslim crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, so the immigrant promise, the reason why we're here in this country is because this American dream that's exported, that if you work hard enough and you make your way here and you get a visa, you get a green card, you build your life here in the United States. Like since the 1700s, this has been the promise, right? Like since we took it from the Native Americans, this is why. Mm-hmm. this is why. So that there could be this, you know, come over here and survival of the fittest, capitalism rocks. Buy your house in the suburbs, take care of your kids, live where it's safe, make money, pay your taxes, and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Be the model minority and you'll be fine.
Yeah, but that's not the truth.
No. No, yeah. It's be the model minority. Don't be scary because you're an elderly man.
Yeah.
Walking.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, and then, I mean, in that situation, you have all the anti-blackness stuff happening layered on top of that, too, right? Because he wasn't even mistaken as an immigrant elderly man. He was mistaken as a black man walking in this neighborhood. And then it's just like, oh, crap. That's like, there's like so many different layers of isms and you know, racial, social hierarchy. And
that's where I think the whole Black Lives Matter movement is so important for everybody to get behind.
Absolutely.
It affects everybody. At the end of the day, that incident was a walking while people think that you're black.
Right. And I think I can't like, there are so many South Asians out there who I feel like think that who are racist against black folks and think that it's not their problem, right? And then you have this incident happening, and I just wonder how many people were like, oh, well, you know, they tried. I just can't imagine how many people there were that were trying to make excuses to try to distance themselves from the situation.
In this situation with the Chapel Hill shooting and the Texas shooting and Mr. Patel, it feels like you can't distance yourself anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, I'm scared for my dad. My dad goes hiking by himself, and I feel like I need to be there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
To be his representative, to make sure he's okay, to vouch for him. Or, like, I just want somebody else there to vouch for him.
Yeah. My dad's just started working again, and I fear every day that he has to drive to work because he has to interact with people out in the Inland Empire, which is notoriously known as Empire for having been the center point of the start of the Ku Klux Empire.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's legend, but yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why they – well, that's one of the folklores in my part of
town. What fun folklore.
One fun racist folklore.
What fun folklore. Just get cozy by the fire, roast marshmallows, and think about that. The Ku Klux Klan developed here in your land.
So one of the things that happened with all this happening was all these articles came out about, like, okay, so how do you stay safe as a Muslim? So I found this article, and I sent it to Zahra.
Yeah, 47 safety tips that all boil down to don't look Muslim.
47 safety tips for Muslim women specifically.
Which all boil down to don't look Muslim. This is where, see, people get upset by this, but I'm like, Persian's got it right. Get as many blonde highlights as you can. Get your nose done so you've got, like, the hot area nose. And when people are like, you know, oh, are you Iranian? Be like, no, I'm Persian. I don't know where that is. That sounds very scary, very bad. I like to dance. I like dancing. I like parties. And come to my house for tea. Hi. I'm friendly.
And that's how you avoid stuff?
That is how you survive. I mean, I'm upset.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, when you read through the 47 safety tips, which Zyra was doing earlier, there's, like, stuff like, okay.
I'm pulling it out now.
So the first one is call 911 if you are in danger. In Mr. Patel's situation, that wouldn't have helped. You know, just for the record, call.
Number one fails already.
Yes. Police aren't always your best friend.
Call 911 and then they will hurt you. So don't call 911. Filming an attack as it happens and taking a photo of the license plate of the car. That only works after the person has already been attacked.
Yeah.
So this is, here are ways to take care of yourself if you survive the attack.
So there, I was just thinking, you know, we should create an app for Muslim women.
What would it be?
It should just be like, you know, like a, so that you can film attacks as soon as they happen. I know in New York that actually there was like a stop and frisk app that was created. And so whenever, because, you know, the NYPD was targeting disproportionately black and brown men walking the streets. So they would like have this app, like app on their phone where if you just push the button, like it would start filming and recording immediately. So we need that version for Muslim. I think there's a market for this. I think we can make a lot of money.
Also, it kind of doesn't matter. Like, I really feel like that part should just be in a separate BuzzFeed article that's like, here are 47 ways that you could go viral as a Muslim. Get attacked. Have a video of it. Have nothing happen about it. Have a lot of people be upset about it. And no policy or legislation change whatsoever to protect you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, this is a fabulous way to go viral.
Yeah, it's not a fabulous way to stay safe, though.
No, because you can't. You can't be safe while Muslim.
Yeah, in the U.S.
Anywhere. Don't be Muslim anywhere. Like Chris Rock had that joke where he was like, don't be black in Florida. Don't be Mexican in Arizona. Don't be Muslim anywhere.
I'm looking through this list.
Always be aware of your surroundings. especially when they come charging at you with, what are the clubs? Those, like, what are they called?
Golf clubs?
No, like the police batons.
Oh, right.
Always be aware of your surroundings, especially when police batons are coming charging at you or a taser gun. Oh, here's my favorite. Travel in groups.
Why is that your favorite?
Because I remember Jenny Yang's awesome, like, video for BuzzFeed that was like, you know, one of them was, why do Asian people have enclaves? You know, because it, you know, safety in numbers. that thing right here, travel in groups. Is that an enclave for you? Like, white people? I'm talking to white people. There are no white people in this closet.
No. Yeah, no.
Change the route you normally travel by so that you look like a terrorist. So that the NSA that's watching you can be like, she's changing the route she travels by. What does that mean?
Yeah. No, I think that's one of the funny things about, like, you know, when it says, like, the record incidences. Like, if you're Muslim and you're taking pictures of buildings or recording things, that is a reason for police to want to arrest you. Actually.
Oh, here's another reason for police to want to arrest you. Funny you should mention.
Huh.
Number 24 down the list. Look confident. Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe look weak, already scared. Maybe wear a shirt that says, I'm sorry for everything already. What is it that you need me to be sorry about? I will be that.
Why?
Maybe wear a shirt that says, like, accommodating, affable, likable. I don't take up space. Maybe wear that shirt. Maybe not look confident. Because it scares neighbors that can then shoot you dead.
Well, oh, if I'm walking down the street confident, it scares neighbors?
Yeah.
Yeah, I see that. I think basically, like, there's a lot on this list. And one of the things that I found really surprising is that, you know, I have to fucking remember 47 things to be safe. Like, there's a lot of things to remember. Why can't it just be don't talk to strangers? You know, that was, like, the basic.
Yeah,
of,
remember,
like,
when that worked? Now it's don't talk to your neighbors.
Don't talk to your neighbors. Don't look suspicious. Don't be brown.
Don't be brown.
Yeah. So if you have.
Well, and here's the other thing is that Syrian Americans, like, look white.
Mm-hmm.
Iranians look white.
Yeah.
Like, whenever I do shows, inevitably I get the response, you know, where, like, I'll get called into college campus. I did a performance at Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
And it was for a multicultural event, the awareness event that they had. They had, like, one department and one person and who invited me to speak. And when we were doing the Q&A, one of the women said, you know, why do you identify as a minority? Because you look white.
Oh.
Yeah.
We should take you tanning.
Because then maybe she'll listen to me at Diversity Week. I mean, I'm mad. I'm upset.
I know you are.
I'm riled.
I know.
Stay calm and drive to your nearest police station. Number 15 on the safety tips. Again, police station, maybe not where you want to be.
I'm never going to call the police if I'm ever in trouble.
You know, interesting one. This is a total side note, and these are ways that listening to the Good Muslim, Bad Muslim podcast is helpful to you, you know, just like as average folk. Never leave your car door unlocked. I don't agree with that. Duncan, my token white man, my husband, told me that his dad, and this is coming from my inside white scoop, right? He leaves his door unlocked always, and he says that that way, if somebody is going to break in for any reason, they don't break his car window. See that? Good Muslim, bad Muslim just helped you save money right now. You don't need Geico. Okay, Taz.
Okay.
Last safety tip from Taz Ahmed.
My last safety tip of being a Muslim woman in the U.S. is, I don't know, I don't talk to strangers still. I'm having issues with strangers talking to me, so I'm still going to stick to that one. But we'll get to that in a little second.
Not so stranger.
Not so stranger. I heard
in our Creeping Sharia segment.
Yeah, we're shifting into Creeping Sharia. I heard you bumped into my ex the other day.
Ex. X, as in the person that you ask why.
I still don't get this joke. She's been saying it all day. So
when you have an X, you know it's your X because then afterward you ask why. Z, X, Y, Z.
So you bumped into him.
I bumped into your ex.
And you saw something on his face?
A beard.
A beard. So I was saying that he's always had a beard.
Since he started going out with you.
No. He always had a little bit of a scruff.
You muslimified him.
I did. So you said that because his beard is like ginormous now, right? Like,
yeah, he has
huge.
A big Muslim beard.
He's a big Muslim beard.
He's a big Muslim man now. You Sharia-fied him. Creeping Sharia from Tez Ahmed.
Yeah, so I think, like, you know, if I keep dating these non-Muslim men and they keep growing beards, then that's, what's the word for that? Is that Islamification?
I think it's called chafing.
Chafing?
I think the word for that is chafing. I'm worried about your face and other body parts.
Yeah, that's true. But then, like, you like, dump them and then go to the next one.
And that's how you create more Muslims.
Right, exactly.
And then that's how we win.
Yeah, that is creeping Sharia.
Dun, dun, dun.
So speaking of this creeping Sharia, does Duncan have a beard?
No, and I really want him to grow one because he has one of those fun beards that are like multicolored.
Oh, it's multicolored.
Yeah, because like he has strawberry blonde, blonde, dirty blonde, dishwater blonde, all like in his beard.
That all sounds like the same color to me.
Because it is. But these are words white people have.
You know what? Speaking of, like, I never understood what strawberry blonde was growing up. Because, like, when I was little, there was always these yellow-haired people, and they would say their hair was blonde or strawberry blonde. And I had no idea what they were talking about. I was like, strawberry is red, so how is this strawberry blonde?
What did you think they were talking about?
I thought it was, like, strawberry in their hair. I don't know. I was fine.
Strawberry in their hair.
I was really confused. It's like, I don't understand how this is considered strawberry blonde. Strawberries are red.
How did it make you feel?
It made me feel confused because I really liked strawberries, but their hair did not look edible. Okay, so speaking of men that I am not dating.
Yeah.
I was...
This is awesome, guys.
I was sitting at a cafe in Oakland.
Yeah.
This was my old hood, by the way, so I used to live here. I was sitting in a cafe in Oakland actually working on my radical love column. Check it out. It should be out this week. Anyways, And this guy walks into this cafe. Sit down in the seat next to me. My seat should not have been empty. He sits down in the
seat. Yeah, Muslim safety tip number 71.
Yeah, make sure none of the seats next to you are empty. He sits down next to me and goes, like, I really like your style. I like how it looks. You look like an Indian, like, hippie. Like, I like what you're wearing. I was just like, oh.
You look like an Indian hippie.
Yeah, I think that was his compliment. I think he was trying to compliment me, but I, as a punk rocker, do not find hippie attractive as a compliment.
I also appreciate how he had to juxtapose the two.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just look like a hippie.
Yeah.
You have to look like, because Indian people can't look like hippies, even though the entire hippie culture functions on having appropriated
right.
Indian aesthetics, religion, mythology. Just, you know, yeah. He could just say, you look like an Indian.
Or you look nice.
Oh, there's that.
Oh, hey.
Hey, how about that?
How about not putting labels? Okay, so
what
then.
What if he just said that?
Then it gets better. So basically what happened was he sits down next to me and then he starts asking me questions about myself. And then I was like, well, you know, I'm a writer. I'm writing. And he's like, well, what do you do? And he's like, I like to go on walks. I like watching porn.
I like watching porn.
I like women. I like
watching porn.
I like boobs.
I like boobs.
And then I was like, what the fuck? Like, he straight up.
You know what? You then, can't go out with this man because he's redundant.
And then he says, he starts talking about himself and he goes, blah, 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 blah. I have a small penis.
What?
And I was like, you're really going to tell me that? And he's like, yeah, because I'm going to be upfront with everything. I was like,
I'm going to be upfront with everything.
Yeah. He's just small straight
penis.
Up said it.
So, okay. There are a couple of reasons why you can't date this man.
Well, I know. It gets better.
Okay. Oh, no.
So then because at this point, I'm just like, okay, this is going to, there's a hidden camera somewhere. Something is happening right now.
Ashton Kutcher's like, making a comeback.
I was like, so, you know, like you live in Oakland, like, or like, what do you do? Like, I'm trying to maintain like a civil conversation. I don't know why I'm trying to maintain a civil conversation, except like I was really curious. So we're sitting there. I was like, so what do you do? And okay, you know what it was? Do you know why I gave him the chance, like a little bit of a chance? Was because I was in Oakland, and back in the day, there was only cool people that lived in Oakland. So then I asked him, I was like, so you live here? And then he goes, yeah, I just moved here a few months ago. He works in San Francisco in a tech company. And he's like, Google, because I had my computer open, he said, to go to WikiHow. And he,
go to WikiHow.
And then we went to the webpage, WikiHow, and he says, put in how to cold approach women.
What?
And then I put that in, and he's like, I wrote that.
Oh, gross.
And then, like, I'm looking
you
through.
You hit the mother load.
I'm looking
you
through.
You hit patient zero.
I'm looking through this. I'm just like, this guy is, he cold approached me and told me to WikiHow a cold approach article that he wrote in the middle of cold approaching me. Like,
this where? Meta cold approach.
It was such a meta cold approach. So then I'm looking through him, just like, well, does this work? Which I did
so
ask him.
So many questions.
And then he's like, well, go look at how many people said like to it. And there was only like 14 likes to it. And there's like 24,000 views, but whatever. Like, you know, my articles get more views than that usually.
Good. Thank but, God.
Thank God. So then he starts talking about David Cho, this artist in the community who is notorious misogynist. And David Cho apparently went on this like hitchhiking trip. So he also went on this hitchhiking trip. And so he talks about like how we went to Alaska because of him. So then that also, like, set off another red flag, right? He's talking about David Cho being his role model. So then he starts talking. I was like, so did you have any racism experiences when you went on this trip? He was like, no. I mean, I do, but, like, I learned from pickup artists that you're just supposed to let these things, like, happen. And I don't really care when, you know, when, like, when these racism things happen because they just, like, flow off your back. Just like when, it's just like when girls hit, when you hit on girls and girls don't pay any attention to you. And then I was like, okay, he's like, just like I'm talking to you, and if this doesn't work, see that girl over there? I'm going to hit on her next.
What?
And I was like, all right.
Did the other girl hear him?
No, she was outside. So then I was like, oh, so you follow pickup artists? And then he's like, no, I don't, you know, screw those guys. I was like, but you just said that in the conversation. He's like, well, you know, I was like, is there a YouTube, you know, what are there videos that you're watching? And then he told me to go to this web, like I pull up Simple Pickup, which is this YouTube channel with 2 million fucking subscribers of these two guys that just like go around like picking up girls and they like teach men how to pick up girls.
And he's in it.
He wasn't in the video, but, like,
this is how
he was inspired. And then, and then he, because my hair is pink, he looks at my hair and goes, like, so, like, you know, he, like, looks at my hair and, like, leans over all casually and, like, touches my hair and goes, like, so is your hair natural? Like, naturally pink? I was like, no, my hair is not naturally pink. And he goes, I was like, it's not. No. And then he goes, like, he's like, well, you know, like, my pubic hair is pink, so. I was just
what? My pubic hair is pink.
Yeah.
So I should have opened with that.
instead of the small penis?
Instead of the boobs and the porn. And the Indian hippie.
And then he asked me for my number. After all that, he asked me for my number. And then he asked me for my number. I was like, no, you're not going to get it. And then he said I had a mental condition that kept me from giving him my number.
Called Muslim crazy?
I should have gone Muslim crazy on him, but I said, no, you're not getting my number because you're not getting my number.
and then he
tried to convince me for like 10 minutes. I was like, I'm on deadline. I got to write my article. No, but, you know, thanks.
Persistence.
Apparently, that's what they teach in these pickup videos.
This is awful.
It was, and then he walks out, and then I'm like sitting there, like stunned, looking around for the hidden cameras in the coffee shop. It's like, did this really happen?
Okay, this, like, there's so many things wrong.
I know there's so many things wrong with it. And then, so Saqib comes.
Saqib is a friend of ours.
And then he sits down, and I was like, Saqib, my period just started because my body so rejected what just happened. Zakim's like, your body just vomited, basically. It was like a visceral, like...
Your body just bled on all men.
All men. All men. It was, my body was like, you do not need to get impregnated by men ever again. We're just going to start bleeding right now.
Flush.
Like, no joke, right at that second, my period started.
Are you serious?
Yeah, my period started.
You got so angry that you bled.
I didn't get angry. My body rejected this man so hard. Was that TMI for this podcast?
I think it's necessary and relevant information.
Okay.
The important takeaway I feel necessary to mention is that, first of all, this kind of is an epidemic because men fundamentally think, and I'm speaking on behalf of all men, that...
I speak on behalf of all Muslims all the time.
I'm speaking on behalf of all men in the world. They think that when a woman goes out with them or will have sex with them, and by the way, and of course we all know, like, they go out with them to have sex with them, and then later they're like, maybe I'll marry this person I'm having sex with. Or you go, like, the other route where you're like, I'm not going to have sex so I can focus on getting married so I can have sex. And they think that, like, if a woman says yes, it's because you duped her. Like, how about it just be because she likes you?
No. I tried to even engage in this. So I realized this morning, one of the things that I
like, women get horny also.
Right.
And maybe she'll get horny for you if you're not horrifying.
Right. Like, I actually tried to engage this guy in a real conversation. I realized this morning, I asked him about the Bellingham race riots of 1907, which he obviously had no idea what to do with because it went over his head. And I was like, what am I... Like, I just thought... I was like, did I just ask him about the Bellingham race riots of 1907? Like,
you got picked up by patient zero of the problem.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. He wrote the WikiHow.
He wrote the WikiHow.
Pick up.
Well, I mean, WikiHow is also written by, like, anyone. I consult WikiHow. Like, I had to consult WikiHow for, like, a experiment that I did with my niece.
Yeah.
And I was like, WikiHow, how do I make how do I explain density to a kid? And there was a WikiHow on it, and it was like, hey, the way to explain density to a kid is to explain density to a kid. Period.
But this guy made me Google WikiHow while he was sitting next to me.
Okay, here's my question. Here's my big question. The woman next to you that he was going to go to after you.
Yeah.
Did he do that?
I looked. He did not, because she was sitting with another dude.
Oh.
Which is also safety tip. You know, I should
Have a dude around.
This is why we're supposed to have male chaperones as Muslim women. So that these kinds of things.
This makes me think all women need a male chaperone.
I know. I feel like all of a sudden I've turned into a really conservative Muslim woman.
You aborted his come on with your period.
Yeah.
And you simultaneously, like, from the ground up, Lucy style, a niqab covered you.
And all of a sudden, like, my pop-up male chaperone, you know, popped,
like,
up on my arm.
Inflated.
Yeah, next to me.
With a giant beard.
That's my Muslim safety tip for women. Get an inflatable man.
With a beard.
With a beard. To, like, prop into the seats next to you to keep all these other weirdos away from you.
So that you need a man who,
but
like,
he has
just...
to be white, right? Like, because the white man is a lot...
Well, I think it depends on the occasion,
that's
right?
That's true.
If you have, like, a white guy with you, and then another guy's going to try and pick up on you, then if it's a Muslim man and your, like, sign that you're wearing says, like, correct, I am owned by this Muslim man, then maybe horrifying things like this at a coffee shop won't happen.
Oh, God, it was so bad.
Are you still on your period? Or was it, I'm curious if it was like a one-time thing. Like, did you just bleed your entire seven-day cycle in that moment? Is there like a series of pads that are like, kind of hate a man, really hated this man. I've rejected all men after this interaction. Heavy flow.
My cycle started early, yeah. By 3 days because of this interaction.
Wow.
I know.
Well, this man is an inspiration to periods everywhere.
So,
good Muslim award should go to this man.
Why?
Well, just, you know, keep infertility happening. Flushing your cycle.
I did have a good Muslim award I wanted to give out.
To who?
I went to watch 50 Shades of Grey with a good friend of mine. And in our row, we looked down the row. There was a hijabi girl sitting by herself with a big old thing of popcorn and chocolate.
That's awesome.
And an extra large soda. I was like, who is she? I want to be her friend. And my friend was like, be weird about
it. Weird.
I kept like, I was like, oh, like she seemed amazing. I want to give her an award.
That is awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome. You had an award you wanted to give out.
I was going to give out an award to public schools that give Eid, like, holidays.
Yeah.
But I want to give out an award to Muslim women that go watch 50 Shades of Grey in the front row by themselves with a giant fatty thing of popcorn.
Yeah.
With, like, everybody staring confused and being what? She is way more interesting than that film at all.
Yeah, the movie was terrible.
I haven't watched it, but I was very disappointed because I wanted to see it on Valentine's Day. And I was like, this is perfect because I'm married and we don't do things for Valentine's Day. And I was like, great, I can go watch 50 Shades of Grey and be that couple on Valentine's Day. And then Vulture was like, if you are a 34-year-old woman who is progressive and feminist and thinks it's funny to go watch 50 Shades of Grey with your husband, then think again because it's too bad to even pay money for.
Yeah.
And I couldn't.
It's not worth it. Don't watch it. I don't even understand how it ended. I was so confused.
Do we want a fatwa, 50 Shades of Grey, or do we have other fatwas?
We have other fatwas. I think you had a fatwa you want to give.
I want to give a fatwa to the DSM-4.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. I think it's the DSM-5 now. The DSM, if you don't know, like, if I am a person who struggles with depression. And so the DSM is my friend.
Yeah.
Because you need to be in the DSM in order to have your medications and your therapies covered.
Right, by health insurance.
By health insurance. Yeah. But even though Muslim crazy is clearly a form of illness, right? Because whenever things happen, like the Aurora Theater shooting, people were like, what happened? Who was he? How come nobody knew? Where was his family?
Yeah.
Who was his psychiatrist? What are his journals? What do they look like? How does society form this man?
Yeah.
And then whenever, like, in the news, a Muslim at all does anything.
Yeah.
Like, by the way, people who claim that they're Muslim, right, say, I'm Muslim, bam. Murder and desecration of all of the people who receive the backlash for my actions, too. Whenever, like, there's something out there that happens on behalf of all Muslims everywhere, then everyone just goes, who is that? Why do they do it? Oh, he's Muslim.
Yeah.
Questions answered.
Right.
We don't need to do a check of our national security to see, like, how this man was able to smuggle AKs into a non-gun-carrying country like France. We don't need to do any of that stuff. He's Muslim. He's just a Muslim guy.
Right.
Questions answered. So that's fine to me.
Yeah.
I think, okay, great. Rules of engagement. If you're Muslim, that counts as a form of crazy.
So I should be able to access medication.
Exactly.
Covered by my health insurance.
My health insurance, Obamacare should cover my Muslim crazy.
Yeah, I think that's true.
And it doesn't.
I mean, the non-jokey way of looking at this is like looking at microaggressions, right? Like Muslims experience so many microaggressions in society just by default of being Muslim that...
That you're kind of Muslim crazy all the time.
Yeah, all the time. So it should be a diagnosis. We should petition the DSM to, like, add Muslim
include
crazy.
Muslim.
Yeah.
Yeah. It should be, like, you know, it's like you have personality disorder.
Yeah.
And then it's, like, multiple personality. Oh, that doesn't kind of exist. But, like, if one of your personalities is Muslim, then, you know, the choose your own adventure ends there.
Right.
You get health care coverage.
Right.
And then the next step is, like, you know, psychopath, sociopath, Muslim. And then that's like, wow, we need to get you full coverage and out of this mess. Right?
Right. You're going to have to wait until next year, though, because I think, like, the Obamacare open enrollment ended last month.
It is perfectly natural, by the way, if while you're listening to all of my jokes that occurred in this podcast, to be sad about them.
Yeah.
Like, every joke in this segment was like,
oh. We have medication that you can buy because of that.
Just go and say you're Muslim and bring a white man with you.
Yeah. So I think that's probably all we have time for. We had some other things we wanted to talk about, which we can't. But, you know, you can follow us on Twitter and have conversations with us there. I am at Tazzy Star.
I am at Zahra Nu, Z-A-H-R-A-N-O-O.
We also have a website, goodmuslimbadmuslim.com. We post stuff there periodically.
And I have a new column out called My Infidel Husband.
Oh, my goodness.
Comes out every fourth Thursday of the month. Check it out, please.
Awesome. I have a column, too. It's called Radical Love. It's out the first Wednesday of every month.
And both our columns could be found at the Love and Cello website, also known as Patheos.
Yes.
Well, thank you for listening, guys.
Thank you for listening to Good Muslim, Bad Muslim. Until next time.
Toodles.
Bye. Thanks for listening to the Good Muslim, Bad Muslim podcast, hosted by Taz Ahmed and Zahra Noorbakhsh. You can follow Taz on Twitter at TazzyStar, that's T-A-Z-Z-Y-S-T-A-R, and Zahra at Zahra Nu, that's Z-A-H-R-A-N-O-O. The show is produced and edited by Quincy Sarah-Smith, and you can find us on the web at goodmuslimbadmuslim.com. To follow the conversation, please use the hashtag GoodMuslimBadMuslim. And a special thanks to that San Francisco Writers Grotto for providing studio space for the recording of this episode.
You do not need to get impregnated by men ever again.